message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
You know, in America, we have a problem when it comes to the scripture. We probably are more guilty than other nations of taking verses out of context. How many of you know that when you take a verse out of context and you lift it out of its setting, out of the passage, it can lose its meaning? For instance, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you like that verse? And I can't expound on all of these. There are several of them that we do that, but that is one of the most commonly abused verses. It's a great verse, but it doesn't mean that you can do anything and everything no matter what you decide. And I'll just leave it at that because that's not our main focus. But another one. Another verse that we will take out of context often is, "My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And we'll apply that whenever we need some extra money to pay the bills or something like that. And that verse is often lifted out of context. When you read it in context, you find out that Paul is talking about a group of people who have given beyond their ability. And he's letting them know, because you have been so generous and because you have given even that of which you did not have, my God is going to repay you and supply your need. And then we've got people over here, stingy and greedy and not giving anything, and they're confessing this. That's out of context. So we take verses out of context. Another issue is often we'll believe the Bible teaches something that it actually doesn't. Something has been said and repeated so many times that we've just kind of adapted it or adopted it, and we think now that it is a verse that you can find in the Bible, or that at least it's a biblical truth. So how many of you have ever come across something and then somebody told you that's not in the Bible and you were like, wow, I thought that was in the Bible? Let me give you a few. Maybe some of these will be new information for you. Cleanliness is next to godliness. How many of y'all know that ain't in the Bible? Now, I'm not trying to give room for you to keep your room and, you know, all messy. There's nothing wrong with cleanliness, but the fact that cleanliness next to godliness is not in the Bible. You can be a slob and love Jesus. That's not in there. Here's another one. God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think you ought to help yourself and not be lazy and put forth effort. And maybe God will bless your effort, but you're not going to find that in a verse. Accept Jesus into your heart. You know that's not in the Bible. I'm not saying it's totally wrong. We believe on Jesus. We receive Jesus. You can find those phrases in the Bible, but you don't find the phrase, accept Jesus into your heart. Or another one along in the lines of, we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart. We need to fill it with God. That's not in the scriptures. How about this one? There before the grace of God go I. How many of y'all think that's in the Bible? You're not going to raise your hand now, are you? Because you know it's not now, because I brought it up. It's not in there. I'm not saying that that's not necessarily true. I think that's a good phrase, and I think we ought to, you know, maybe hang on to that and remember that, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, you might not be as well off as you are right now, but you're not going to find a chapter and verse where it says, oh, look, Timothy said, there but for the grace of God go for I. Timothy never said that. Peter, James, and John never said that. Nobody ever said that. Here is the closest thing to that. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, says this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So maybe it came from there. I don't know. And I love that verse that I just read to you. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said that right after he was talking about his evilness and that the fact that I persecuted the church. I hated the church. I hated on Jesus. I was anti-God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm something brand new now. That's a beautiful verse. But nowhere does it say, there but for the grace of God go I. You won't find that in the scriptures. Also not in the scriptures, not taught, there are many ways to God. I hear that, I didn't read the article, I just saw the headline, but the Pope has declared that there's many avenues to God. The Bible doesn't declare that. The Bible makes it very clear there's one road. His name is Jesus. Also not taught in the scriptures. We are all children of God. You're not going to find that in the scriptures. We become angels when we die. We don't. There are angels and there are humans. And when humans die, they don't become angels. I saw this one. This was recent. Somebody had posted this in a meme format. It said, at the end of 40 days of rain, God showed Noah a rainbow. At the end of 2020, God showed us the Star of Bethlehem. I don't know how many of y'all saw the Star of Bethlehem. We went out there. It was cloudy. Didn't see much. But they're alluding to the idea that Noah, after all that he went through, got the rainbow, signifying that all is well. And now God, for us, at the end of 2020, is showing us the Star of Bethlehem. And the Star of Bethlehem is just like the rainbow, all is well now. You're not going to find that in the Bible, obviously. Maybe all will be well, but church, 2020 might just be a preview of what's to come. I'm not hoping for that, because I hear people talk, man, can't wait till 2020's done. We're going to eat our peas this year. We're going to have a watch night party just to make sure 2020 leaves. I understand all of that. Obviously, God is up to something, but I don't know that Star of Bethlehem the other night is a sign that all is going to be well now here in America and all across the globe. 2020 is going to be done. It's going to be all better. I don't know about that. So here is the one I want to focus on. Another phrase, a biblical, a non-biblical saying, not a verse, but it's often used, misused, and it's this one. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Or it might be said this way, God won't allow you to take on more than you can bear. How many of you have heard that? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have said that? God won't give you more than you can handle. He's not going to allow you to take on more than you can bear. I don't know about you, but there's been a time or two I've felt like I've been given more than I can handle, whether it was from God, the devil, or just life, or myself. Have you ever felt like you've had more than you can handle? But since God doesn't give you more than you can handle, it must not be true. You know, the world is filled with people who've had more than they can handle. People who exit taking their own life, you know why they did? They had more than they can handle. The Bible is filled with people who got more than they could handle. You know, the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth, right? We are to handle the scriptures wisely and not do damage by misusing them. And we've all done it. We're growing in our relationship with the Lord. So after today, you're going to know not to say this. It's not in the Bible. God won't give you more than you can handle. It's not in there. You're not going to find it. What you're going to find is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We're going to put it on the screen for you. This is where this comes from. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. I like that phrase. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. This is where God's not going to give you more than you can handle phrase comes from. Whenever we say God's not going to give you more than you can handle, we're talking about suffering. When somebody is going through a difficult time, when they're going through a struggle, we offer our comfort by saying, hey, you're good. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. This verse, Paul's not talking about suffering. He's talking about temptation. How many of y'all know that suffering and temptation are two different things? Now, they can be linked. If you succumb to particular temptations, they can open the door for some suffering in your life. But Paul is talking about temptation and that we will always have a choice when it comes to sin because God will make a way of escape for us. This verse tells us that whenever temptation comes, boom, there it is, that with that temptation, God will make a way of escape. There will be a door over here. Temptation here, exit door over there. God is saying with every temptation, there is going to be a way out. How many of y'all know Jesus was tempted? There's no shame in being tempted. We are all tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, but Jesus never sinned. How is that? He always took the way of escape. The enemy brings temptation, and you got the temptation door, and then God brings the way of escape over here. So you got the door to get out over here. You got the door to enter in over here. And God doesn't give us the temptation door, because the book of James says that God doesn't tempt any man. So the enemy tempts, and we got that door to enter into temptation, and then God sees that, and God gives a way out and gives us the exit door over here. And so it becomes your choice. When it comes to sin, when it comes to temptation, it's your choice. You can't say, the devil made me do it. By the way, that's not in the scriptures either. The devil did not push you through that door. God gave you a way out, and you chose the door to go in instead of the door to get out. Now, granted, the temptation door is usually right here in front of you. The way of escape door is usually down the hall over there. You're going to have to make an effort to get away from the temptation. That's why the Bible says flee temptation, right? Flee fornication. Run from it. The other door may not be as close and as accessible, but it is there. So Paul is talking about temptation. So with temptation, you have a choice. But with suffering, we often don't have a choice. Sometimes we do things that invite suffering to our door. It's our fault. We did it. But often the suffering that comes our way is not a result of us choosing it. You don't have to raise your hand, but some of you are going through some suffering right now. It may be suffering because of loss. It may be suffering because of something going on within your family, some division, brokenness. And it's nothing that you chose. With temptation, you got a choice. Suffering just comes uninvited. It's part of living in a broken world with broken people, right? So what I want to do is share with you four problems, at least four. I'm going to give you four. There may be more, but I've stumbled upon four here. Whenever you misapply this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's talking about temptation, and then we translate it, hey, God's not going to give you more than you can handle, and we make it about suffering. Whenever we do that, we create at least four problems. Problem number one, the sentence, God won't give you more than you can handle, the first problem that thing creates is it makes God the bad guy. Do y'all see that? It paints the picture of God dishing out the problems and the troubles and the struggles. But he's careful because he doesn't want to give you more than you can handle. And so God's looking at you and he's going, oh yeah, you could handle a little more. And he gives you a little bit more problem. Oh, wow, you're doing very good. Here, let me help you with that. And he throws you some problems. Wow, you look happy. Here's some trouble. You're at your limit. I'm not going to give you more than you can handle, but I'm going to give you as much as I can. So the first problem with this misapplication of this verse is it makes God the bad guy. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that God wants to bless us and give us abundant life, and that God is generous and God is good. But now this verse, this misapplication of verse, makes God the bad guy. He's weighing you down with stuff. He's just very careful not to weigh you down too much. When he gets you near the point of breaking and falling apart, he backs off in his mercy. There you go. Struggle with that for a while. Problem number two. It makes me and you the bad guy. See, this verse is usually quoted, when I say this, it's not a verse. God won't give you more than you can handle. It's not a verse. This wrong verse, whenever it's quoted, it's usually quoted to people who are going through difficult times. It's quoted to people who are down and out, people who are feeling discouraged, people who want to quit life, who want to throw in the towel. And then we come along to help them and to minister to them, and we say, hey, it's going to be okay. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. So I guess the interpretation of that is, you're done. I know you're at your ends. God knows it too, so nothing else is going to happen. You're good. But here's how it makes us the bad guy. Because whenever we hear these words, if I'm in a place of suffering, and then you come and give me that false verse, hey, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Well, now I'm dealing with some guilt. Because if God's not going to give me more than I can handle, but yet I don't feel like I'm handling it, I must be doing something wrong. It can't be God, because he wouldn't allow me to be hurt beyond my limit, have to bear something beyond my ability. But I feel like I'm there, but I can't be because he quoted the verse. So now I'm dealing with guilt. On the top of all the struggles and the problems that I was carrying and the burden that I was trying to bear, you've come along and shared a verse with me, and now I get to throw some guilt up there on the load. These words are more of a taunt than they are a comfort. How many of you know that when somebody's going through something, it's not always the greatest time to quote scriptures? What are you saying? The Bible ain't good? I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying sometimes quoting verses of scripture, somebody's having a bad day. You're having a good day. They come in, hey, how you doing? Good morning. I'm struggling. Well, rejoice in the Lord, always. Oh, and again, I say, rejoice. Well, now they feel good. You perked them right up. Scripture is good. Timing is also good. When somebody's hurting, you know what the good thing to do is? Remember when Mary and Martha were hurting because Lazarus had died and Jesus showed up? What did he do? This is the verse. Y'all know it, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. This is where he wept. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. He didn't quote scripture. He took time to feel their pain. Your presence is enough. You don't have to feel the need to be spiritual. All right, I'm going a little further on that one than I wanted to. But it makes us the bad guy because it causes us to think, why can I not handle this? I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. Because God wouldn't give me more than I can handle, but yet I feel like it's more than I can handle. I am weak. I'm not good. I'm not worthy. But the truth is, God never said this. There will be times in life when you feel like you are drowning and there is no one to help you. And then these words that are meant, when somebody says these to you, they're meant as an encouragement. But they come across the exact opposite. And they discourage more than they help. And the fact is, it's not even in the Bible. It's a misapplication of Scripture. Problem number three. It makes us suspicious of God. See, we know that we're facing things that are too much for us. Yet, God doesn't allow that, but I know that I am, but God doesn't allow it, but why am I there? I'm not sure about him. He said he wouldn't give us more than he can handle, but yet this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. Listen, church, suffering is a hard thing. And this just comes to mind. Years ago, I can't think of anything more difficult than losing a child. And there are some of you watching, some here, that have gone through that. You've lost a child. You've lost a grandchild. I remember years ago, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't know them, but I read the article. A brother and sister were going somewhere. They had a wreck, and both of them were lost. They died. And I'm thinking, what parent could endure both of their children? They have two, now they have zero. Is that more than you can handle? I'm going to tell you, I've never been there, but that is more than I can handle. But wait a minute, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Well, I'm not sure I trust that. I'm not sure I trust you. I'm a little suspicious of God now. Why? Because of that verse in the Bible where it says God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That verse ain't in the Bible. It's not there. Finally, number four, it points us inward. Whenever we hear the phrase, God's not going to allow you to go through more than you can bear, it points us inward. It teaches us to rely on ourselves instead of God. See, God permits trials and suffering to come my way according to my ability, because he doesn't give us more than we can bear. And this guy can bear this much. This guy can bear this much. So he gets this much and you get a little bit less because he's stronger than you. God gives us trials and suffering and difficulties based upon our ability. So I'm looking inward now. It's all based upon my strength. Well, if that's the truth, I don't even want to be strong. Right? It's kind of like your kids are helping you unload the truck. You've moved from one house to another. And so you tell your son, who's 17 years old and strong, hey, won't you go get them boxes there? And then you got your 8-year-old boy who's not quite as strong. Won't you get that little stack right there? What are you doing? You're dispensing the load according to their ability. You're assessing their strength and their ability. And he's going to carry more because he's stronger. You're going to carry less. And that's the way God does us. Hey, he's really spiritually strong. We'll give him a lot. He's not so strong. We'll give him a little. Well, now I want to go to the little category. It points us inward. God permits trials according to my ability to handle it. I can take whatever comes my way according to what I have. It's all about me now. And here's another thought. If I can handle it, why call on God? God's not going to give you more than you can handle. You can handle it. Then I don't need God. Handle it. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It's not going to be on the screen. I want you to listen for two phrases in these two verses. I want to highlight two phrases. Paul is saying this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. So their struggle, trial, problems. We were under great pressure, and catch this phrase, far beyond our ability to endure. I'm going to stop there for just a minute. How much pressure did Paul, the apostle, writer of the scriptures, have? More than he could endure. But God won't give you more than you can endure. Well, apparently he did for Paul. He gave Paul more than he could endure. And then Paul goes on, so that we despaired of life itself. We hated life. Didn't want to live anymore. That's how heavy this was. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened so that, and here's the next phrase I want you to catch. This happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. The problem with this misapplication of verse, it points us inward. And the Bible is saying you need to be focused Godward. these things happen beyond your ability so that you won't rely on yourself, but so that you will rely on Him. If you can handle it, you don't need Him. If you can't handle it, you're going to need some help. And I'm telling you, life is going to give us all enough that we can't handle. We need help. We need help from above. We need help from across the board, across the aisle, our friends. We need to realize that sometimes we cannot handle it. We cannot make it on our own. And God doesn't even expect you to handle it. He expects you to hand it over to Him. But we've got this false verse telling us that we can handle it because God would never go beyond that line right there. No, absolutely. Like Paul the Apostle, there will be times in life you will get more than you can bear. And you're going to have to rely not on yourself to handle it, but you're going to have to rely on God. God doesn't want us to rally more of our strength. He wants us to rely on His strength. Our trial should point us Godward, not inward. Psalm 46 says this, God is our strength, a very present help. You know the rest? In times of trouble. So whenever problems come my way, I can't handle it, but God is my help. I've got somebody else to help me handle it. Isaiah 40, 29 says this, God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. It also says that those that wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. You will absolutely have moments where you can't handle it. You don't need to feel guilty about that. You don't need to blame God about that. God didn't do that. You're just going to go through life, and life is full of pain. And there are broken people living on this broken planet. We're going to go through some stuff. And you need to get that verse out of there and grab hold of the truth of what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. God says, you will have times that you're not going to be able to handle it, but I will give strength to the weak. I will be present in your time of trouble. Don't look inward. You need to look upward. Suffering will come our way because of where we live. This ain't heaven. Some of you just went through the first set of holidays without a loved one. A blank spot at the table. You've got memories, and you appreciate and love all of that, but you miss someone that's suffering. And you know, whenever somebody dies at 85, 90 years old, and they've lived a long, good life, that's the way it's supposed to happen, right? That hurts. That hurts. But what about when they're 32? What about when they're 17? What about when they're 3? What about when there's much pain and suffering? It hurts even more. We're going to need something outside of ourselves. We're going to need strength beyond us. When your strength is failing under crushing burdens, the answer is not within yourself. You can look within. You're not going to find your strength there. I'm going to give you this final verse, Psalm 121, verse 1. The psalmist says this, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Your help is not going to come from within. You're going to get some help from without, some brothers and some sisters, some friends. They're going to cry with you. You're going to lean on them. You're going to get some help there. And then you're going to look to the maker of heaven and earth, and you're going to get some help there. He's going to infuse the weak with strength, and He's going to help you. He's going to be a present help in times of difficulty. They're going to help you. He's going to help you. But you're not going to find the answer within. It's going to be more than you can handle. I find this helpful because whenever I say that my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, I'm saying something true about God instead of saying something false about me. I can handle it. False. God is my help. true. We're getting ready to close out a year. I'm going to turn on the TV sometime in the next few days, and there's going to be one of them shows that are going to go back in time for the last year and show us everything that took place in 2020. And we're going to remember a lot of it, but I always find myself, oh, I forgot that. Oh, that person, I forgot that. A lot happened in the last year. And some of you, for some of you, it was your most difficult year. And it was your most difficult year, nothing to do with COVID. That just made it even more difficult. Some of you had your most difficult year because of other things. And you're here today. You're hanging on because you've got some help. It's not you. It's going to be more than we can handle. Church, we've got 2021 just right around the corner. I'd love it if the Star of Bethlehem meant what some have concluded that it might mean. I just don't think so. Again, what if 2020 is just a preview? And 2021 makes 2020 look good. Wow, Pastor, you're so negative. I'm not hoping for it. That would be morbid. I'm just saying, what if? What if this wasn't the worst year ever? What if that's still in front of us? Thankfully, God is a present help, and God is going to be there in 2021. Church, more than ever, we have got to rely on Him and not ourselves. We're going to need God. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name for a strength, for a peace, for a joy that comes from Your Spirit. Father, I admit it right now. I cannot handle all things that have come my way. Father, I am not strong enough. Lord, I pray and I look to You to be my strength. I look to You, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who can bear all things. God, that You give me what I need. Lord, forgive me for being arrogant and prideful to think that I got this. Father, we call on You. We look to You. Be our strength. Be our help. Father, I know the situation of some here. I know the situation of some that are watching. Lord, some are going through things that are unbearable. They're beyond our ability to stand and sustain ourselves. It's beyond us. We need You, Lord. We cannot rely on ourselves. We need You. We call upon You, God. We call upon You. This verse comes to mind, church. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. He is our help, but we are also each other's help. We can help bear each other's burdens. It took four men to carry the sick man to the roof and drop him before Jesus. It took four to carry him. We help carry each other. Father, I thank You for the church, the body of Christ. Lord, I thank You specifically for this congregation, this family right here that we call Angleton First Church. And God, I pray that You would be glorified in us and through us. And God, we'll give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.